just chuck up.
Hallelujah. If you've got your Bibles, if you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Mike.
Hello. Yeah.
2 Corinthians chapter 5. And verse 16 onwards. Been a blessing to be chapter 5. Listen, it's just been a blessing. So many wonderful things and promises, so much theology, so much goodness from the Lord, and it's not finished yet. We'll be looking tonight. Thank the Lord. Let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 16 says, therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Pray, let's pray tonight. Pray for me, pray for yourselves, pray the Lord would speak to us, so we take something out of this word to take away with us tonight. Let's all bow our heads. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, I praise you, my God. Glorify you once again. You are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. So verse 16 is talking about a difference of perspective now that we're saved. He says, and I read it again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though that we have known Christ according to the flesh, meaning they knew it. They were people who were still alive then, who walked with Jesus, who'd seen the risen Lord, who heard the things that he said and spoke. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. So Paul is saying that we see things differently now that we're Christians, now that we're saved. We don't see people like we used to, because we don't regard things, we don't think in the ways of the flesh anymore when we look at people. We see things through spiritual eyes, through what the Bible says, through being a new creation, we're born again. Now that we're saved, we don't see people in the world as either good or bad. In the world, we see people as good or people as bad, and we wanted something to do with them and nothing to do with them. But now we're saved, we just see everybody as lost. If they don't know Jesus Christ, the Lord and Saviour, what are they? Unsaved people. We just see everybody the same. We see them as souls that need Jesus Christ. Regardless of who they are or how they live, if someone lived in a certain way, you might have something to say about it. And I'm quite sure that you have standards for your family. We all want to bring our children up and live in a certain way, act a certain way, and speak a certain way. But you might see someone living in a certain way, but that wouldn't stop us from standing and talking to them, because now we want to win them for Jesus Christ. Amen? So now that we're saved, we don't see things according to the flesh anymore. He's saying we don't account no one according to the flesh or how we used to think about people. Now we see things spiritually. Even Jesus, before we were saved, what did you think of Jesus before you were saved? I thought he was just a good man, that done good things. But when I accepted the Lord Jesus and that he died for me and that he rose again, my view on Christ, my view on eternity, my view of myself and my view of everything else changed. Why? Because I become born again. And when I become born again, I thought differently, see things differently, spoke differently, and acted differently. I had a changed perspective. For us who are Christians, we have a changed perspective. We have a way that we've changed. We don't judge things according to the flesh anymore. We don't judge things according to the flesh. We just see people as lost. We see people as knowing Jesus. We think and act differently and live differently and speak differently because we are now born again. Romans, the Bible says in Romans chapter 12, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now as Christians, we don't view things from the flesh, but we view things spiritually. You see what's going on in the world today? How do we view it? Spiritually. What did the Bible say? There'll be wars, rumours of wars. These things are happening in the last days. When you see these things happening, what do you think of as Christians? What the Bible says. When you see what's going on in the world, we view things spiritually. We weigh things up by God's word. Our perspective has changed. We no longer look at life or look at ourselves or look at others by just our flesh. Because we've been made born again, we should and do see things differently. So now that this renewed mind and spiritual perspective has come into our lives, how should that affect my life? How, because I think differently and see differently and act differently now and view things differently, how does that affect my day-to-day life? Well, first of all, there should be a change in me first. There should be a change in me. My desires. Now, because I'm born again and I don't live for myself, what did I preach last week? What was Paul saying? Because if he died for us, we no longer should live for ourselves, but for the one who's laid down his life for us. So because now I'm born again and I see things differently, I don't just try and fill my life with me and what I want. I consider the Lord and what pleases him. The Bible says in it, we've already been through it. Charles preached it the week before. We make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well pleasing to him. Now our life, because we're born again, we have this changed perspective. Now all of a sudden we're not living for ourselves. We're living for the Lord. We put Jesus first. So this change of view, this change of perspective, first is, it should change me, my desires, the way I live, the way I speak. Now we're born again and we view things spiritually and we view things through the Bible and we view things through the Lord by putting God first. That should change the way we bring up our children. It should change the way we bring up our children. Now all of a sudden, our children will be brought up in a Christian home. I never taught my children to go out and con and tell lies and be deceitful. And I tell you what else I never taught my children, either. I said, stick up for yourself, don't be bullied. But you know all that, if someone hits your hitting back, that's not right. If they do say to you, you do it to them. That's not right. Now why? Because Jesus said, don't repay evil for evil. I think it's important for your children to defend themselves. But to say to your children, if someone hits you in the back, I don't see that being godly. Because of Christianity, not only has my life changed, but now I'm a different type of father. A different type of husband. Because we don't live a life or view things according to the flesh anymore, but we view things spiritually through the Word of God. I teach my children things that are important through God's Word. That it's important to love God, to put God first, that we don't get involved in darkness, but we walk in light. Because of my changed perspective and now I'm born again and I don't think according to the flesh or shouldn't, Now I start to view my life differently and things what I spend my time on. What I do with my life, the time I spend serving the Lord, the things I try and do to be effective for God's kingdom and not my own. Because of this change of perspective, I'm no longer, or I don't think I'm no longer trying to build God's kingdom. I'm trying to build ease through service, through faithfulness, through prayer. What Paul is saying, that once we know, we don't view Jesus according to the flesh anymore, he said. We don't see him like we used to. We know him differently now. When someone accepts who Jesus is and what he has done, it should change everything about us. Who we are, how we live, how we see others, and what we desire. Just in that simple verse, I think there's so much. Because he's saying we don't look at things like we used to anymore. Brothers and sisters, as Christians, we look at things with spiritual eyes. Through the word of God. How we believe the Lord is commanding us to be. He says in verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. We've heard this preached, and we've listened to this, we've quoted it 1,000 times. Paul goes even further to explain why we think differently, act differently, and speak differently, and see things differently. It's not just a change of mind. He's saying we don't view things according to the flesh anymore, but because we're new creations. Because we've been completely changed. And being this word new creation, it don't just mean a change of mind or a change of heart. It means that we've been completely transformed. We've been made new creation. The old man is dead and the new man lives. God just didn't clean the old man up. Many people go to Gambling Anonymous, Alcoholics Anonymous, and then people do a good work. Loads of people go to drug clinics and places and counsellors and all different sorts of things for a change of life, for a change of circumstances. And I think they all have their place in this world. They're all very, very good things. But this is not what this is talking about. Being a new creation ain't Joseph 2.0, just him but a little bit better. Just him but a little bit cleaner. Just him but like a little bit more cushy. It's saying that Joseph's gone, and now the new man lives. And how he lives through Christ. The Bible says that we have been crucified with Christ. And Paul said, it's not now I live, but I live, now Christ lives through me. We are new creations. The old has gone and the new has come. God took something that was dead and made it completely brand new. And this is why we have a change of thought. This is why we don't view things according to the flesh anymore. This is why we don't think the same, speak the same, act the same. Because I'm not the same man. If you've got saved and you've been around your family, there'd be people who love you. But you ever heard this when you first got saved? Well, you've changed. You used to do this. You used to say that. And I'll tell you what, that's the best thing I've ever heard in my life. Yeah, used to. Not anymore. Now I'm a Christian and I live for Jesus. And that's not because I've joined a club. That's not because I've gone dim low. Or I'm in a cult. Or I just wanted a change of circumstance or atmosphere. That's because Jesus Christ has made me a new creation. Hallelujah. I've been born again by the Spirit of God. And no man can be the same. No woman can be the same. Who can meet with Jesus and be the same? Who can meet with Jesus in their heart and be the same person? You meet people who backslide and stop following God for whatever reason. Meet them and speak to them. They go, I know you're right. I wish I was with where you was. I should be doing what you're doing. They won't deny the Lord. They know that God has been good to them and that God is right. The Bible says, come taste and see that the Lord is good. So in Christ Jesus, you stop being the same person and you are now something new. So if you see someone who claims to be born again and they've never changed, they're still talking the same, still acting the same, still doing the same things, still living the same life, what does that mean? What does it mean?
Holy Spirit.
Not born again. When someone, you can't be a new creation and still be the same old man. Yeah, I'm a work in progress, and I'll tell you what I mean by that. When Jesus saved me, he made me brand new. I'm a new creation. Not, I'm going to be, I was a new creation. I'm brand new. But yet, Paul said, I battle against this flesh. He said, I find myself, there's a war going on, and the flesh wants to do one thing, and the Spirit of God inside me wants to do another, and I find myself things doing things that I don't want to do, saying things that shouldn't be saying, because there's a battle going on, and sometimes we give in to the old man. I fail God every single day, but I know I'm not the man I was. I fail the Lord every single day, but I'm not the man I was, I'm a new creation. I see people and say, I got saved 30 years ago. I got baptised 40 years ago. They don't go to church. They don't serve the Lord. They're still smoking and drinking. They're still cutting up rough. They're still down talking to you about someone they've had a few quid off of. They're still mixing in the same places and doing the same thing. I tell you this now, brothers and sisters, they're not born again. They're claiming to be Christians, but there's no Christianity in them. They're not saved. He says, now things are of God who has reconciled us to him. This just blew me away when I read this. Now all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, hallelujah, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Now, to be reconciled, sort of like, you could probably put it in two ways. It's the best way I can put it. That word there for reconciled is like a dealing man's, a merchant's word back in Jesus' time. And it means to exchange something of worth for something else of worth. So give money for gold. You know, when you buy gold, you're giving money, which is worth something, for something else that's worth something. Right? That's what reconciled means. And that's what God done. God give Jesus Christ something of worth for what? For me. For you, something of worth. Because we might be rubbish, but we was of worth to him. Amen? Amen? We're the most precious thing in the world to the Lord. So much so he'd give his son to die for us and rise again, that he might have us in his life. So it's to exchange something of worth for something else of worth, like money for gold. But also the understanding in the right way, what he's talking about here, is to help bring back someone who's got a bad relationship with another person, so you help bring that person back into a right relationship with the person who they fell out with. You might bring them back into that person's favour. So that's what it means to be reconciled, to be back in favour with someone who you fell out of favour with, to have a relationship put back that was wrong. So when men and wives split up, as preachers, when we counsel people, we tell them that God is a God of reconciliation. And what that means is that it's part of God's desire, if it can be, only if it can be, it's not always can be, but that something might get fixed. And then two people who've got a broken relationship, yeah? Amen? He's with me? Amen. Come on, give me a bit of encouragement. He's with me, yes. Amen. Then two people, they might be reconciled, be put back into a proper relationship. So God, through Jesus Christ, reconciled us to himself by the death and resurrection of Jesus. So God used Jesus to reconcile us back to God. He gives something of worth to claim something of worth, which is us. But it was more than just an exchange. It was putting a right relationship back. Not only has God brought me back and I'm back in the favour of the Lord, but not only am I back in his favour, now, through the reconciliation of Jesus Christ, when he did upon the cross, when he died and rose again, I now can have a relationship with the Lord. What a wonderful thing, brothers and sisters. If I could just let that, Lord, I've been trying to get that in my head, in my heart, all afternoon. And as much as I could understand it, I still couldn't grasp how much of a wonderful thing the Lord has done. Not only has he put me back in favour, the Son has put me back in favour with the Father, but now I can have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. A wonderful relationship. Reconciliation. Remember that word. It's a wonderful thing. It's more than just an exchange, but it's a restored relationship. A renewed relationship. Hallelujah. But he says this, that not only has God reconciled us back to himself, but he has given us the ministry of reconciliation. It says that in verse 18. Through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. What does it mean by the ministry of reconciliation? The ministry of reconciliation, we think of ministry as pastors, elders, evangelists, ministers. That this is ministry, service. But it says now God has brought us, reconciled us, and given us the ministry of reconciliation, that we might bring others to the same understanding, that they might have a restored relationship. So what God has done, God has put me in a right relationship with Jesus Christ, from what he's done on the cross when he died and rose again, and I've accepted him as my Saviour. I now have a right relationship with the Lord. I've been reconciled. I'm back in favour. There's been this exchange. Jesus Christ has died that I might be a child of God. The sinless took on my sin that me, the guilty, might be innocent. But not only that, now he has said to me, this ministry of reconciliation, the work that Jesus Christ has done, he's now got to do through you that you might bring others to me. Amen? That we have this ministry of reconciliation. We have an opportunity and a blessing and a privilege to now that we might bring others and lead others by the hand and say, come and know God, come be forgiven through Jesus Christ. People say, I don't know what my service is, or I want to be involved in ministry. You have a ministry. You've got it. It's the ministry of reconciliation. It's the ministry of taking lost souls and helping them understand that through Jesus Christ, they can be forgiven and saved and they can know the Father, hallelujah. And they can know the Son. The ministry of reconciliation. What a privilege. What a privilege. That they might have a restored relationship and a right standing before God. That word there for ministry is someone, it's the same word used for someone who's an evangelist or a prophet. It's a calling from God. And we are given it. We've all been given it. The ministry of reconciliation. We've all been given it. Now it goes on to explain in verse 19. That is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now once he says that you've been reconciled, and now you have a ministry and a duty to reconcile others, to bring others to God through believing in Jesus Christ, he goes on to explain how the reconciliation works and what tools we've been given to do the job. So he goes on to explain and says, look, God has used Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross when he died and rose again, not only to bring people back into a right relationship with him, but by this sacrifice, their sins would be paid for, not held against them. He said, he's reconciled the world. So what that means is that it's for the whole world that they might be reconciled to God. And the sins that they've committed, if they believe in this reconciliation, and I'm saying that word a lot, I want it to be planted in our minds. If we believe in what Jesus Christ did upon the cross, if we accept what Jesus Christ has done on the cross, he doesn't impute our sins to me or the rest of the world. And what that means is that when I stand before the Lord to be judged, because of itself accepted Jesus, I won't be guilty, I'll be innocent. But why am I really, why are all of us really before the Lord? We are guilty, aren't we? We are sinners before the Lord. If it's not for God's good grace and reconciliation and forgiveness and mercy, none of us could be saved. Not only do we have the opportunity saying, he ain't going to impute your sins against you. He ain't going to reckon them against you. When he looks at you, he ain't going to see Joseph Anderson, the sinner, and all the things that I've done. The Bible says that love keeps no record of wrongs. That God takes everything I've ever done and throws it into the sea of forgetfulness. When I'm forgiven, I'm forgiven. Hallelujah. When you're forgiven, you're forgiven. He don't impute my sins against me. When I stand before him, there is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus, the Bible says. God's plan, as I'm reading this and I'm trying to break it down and understand it in my own mind, God's plan of salvation is not only wonderful, but it's perfect and complete. Not only have I been brought back into favour with the Father, not only can I have a relationship with the Son and with the Father, a restored relationship, but all my sins are wiped away. The slate is wiped clean. And the Bible says that God takes the righteousness of Jesus and he puts it on me. That I stand righteous before the Lord, not because of anything I've done, but because of what he's done. And people say you're not saved by works, and I want to tell you that's wrong. You are saved by works. It's just not your own. It's Jesus's. Hallelujah. 100% you are saved by works. But it's not my works. It's the work of the Father when he sent the Son hung upon a cross and forgive us of all sin. When we accepted him as our Lord and Saviour, the slate wiped clean. And people try and find another way to heaven. Christians try and find another way around God. They're trying to find another way to do better or have better or see better. And the best that all heaven could afford has been given us for free, hallelujah. We stand reconciled and free in the Lord Jesus Christ, filled with his Spirit, forgiven. A brand new creation, a new life, a new mind, a new heart. And not because of anything I've done, but because of what he's done. How wonderful and beautiful and perfect is the salvation of the Lord. God has made it even possible. So what do I have to do? Do I have to be a church goer? How long do I have to be a Christian before this sort of sets in and starts to work? No, straight away. Remember the thief on the cross? Never went to a Bible study. Wasn't baptised. Never been to church. Today you'll be with me in paradise. Someone will be in the last moments of their life and call upon the Lord Jesus and Jesus forgive them. How wonderful and gracious and good and perfect is the salvation of the Lord. And sometimes I'm trying to earn it. Sometimes I'm trying to please, like try to somewhere out and get myself a better position somehow in heaven or do something more. When everything that I needed to be done was done for me. And you know why? Because he loves me, hallelujah. Before I loved him, the Bible says he first loved me. And now, well, what tools do we have this ministry of reconciliation? Right, Lord, you've given me this ministry to bring other people to you, but how do I do it? It says here, the end of verse 19. He's reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their sins and trespasses to them, and has committed to us. Committed means he's given us something. He has committed to us the word of reconciliation. We have the gospel, the wonderful gospel. The Bible says that the power of salvation is in the preaching of the gospel. Not me, not how I preach. If I holler and scream, and I do, I get excited and I preach the gospel and I'll shout and I'll go. But it's not by my persuasion or by my anything clever in me, but by the preaching of the gospel. So even the ministry that I've been given is a gift from God, and God has even given me the tools that I might go out and tell someone and say, you know, Jesus loves you and he died for you, and if you repent from your sins, he can save your soul and he'll forgive you. And people fall to their knees and accept that. And yous are in here tonight because you accepted that message, you believed that tonight. And now we have to take that message to other people. How many's enough? I watched a film the other night, you've probably all seen it, a film called Axel Ridge about this soldier who's like a Christian. And I don't know what he was like some sort of Christian, but he read the Bible and what, I don't know what the man was, but the man believed that he was put on this earth, not to take life, he had to go to the Second World War, but to save it. He became a medic. He became this medic in the army and he wanted to save people, he wanted to save lives, not take lives. And he saved 75 men in one night in a battlefield, and the place was being bombed and was on fire and everything. And they said to him, how many was enough? And he said, I just prayed to the Lord, and I just said, look, one more, Lord. Just one more. And I can imagine me being on my own deathbed thinking, Lord, just let me leave one more person to you. How many people do we want in this church? Just one more, Lord. How many more of your family do you want to see saved? None of them might be saved. But how many do you want to see, Lord, just one more? And then when that one's saved, don't you say then, just one more, Lord. Just let me bring one more to you. Just one more. God's plan and salvation and love for us is so perfect. But then he said to us, go out here. Start with your family. Start with your loved ones. Start with your children. Tell them they need Jesus. And then from there, go out and tell more. A ministry of reconciliation. That salvation comes with a dying wealth that only accept. How wonderful and perfect and beautiful is the plan and salvation of the Lord. Amen. Let's pray.